So Acts chapter 1, I'm on page 909, if you're using a Bible that we've provided here. And I'm just going to read the first 11 verses so we can get a wide scope of the story. So Jesus, he's gathered his disciples all together. He's up on the mountaintop, and that's where we pick up. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is, by the way, the disciple Luke, all right? Luke, the apostle Luke, who is writing this. So he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And he presented himself alive to them, not dead, but alive, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized or washed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 6. "And when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this specific time, restore the kingdom of Israel?" So they're still thinking old news, all right? Jesus, you're going to come and make peace with Rome, okay? Verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Friends, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." In other words, it's not your business. Verse 8, "But you will receive power." This is your business, all right? So listen up. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when that happens, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing in the heaven, so you can imagine this, they're all looking up into the sky, and as he went, behold, so this is the important part, two men standing by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" Translation, what are you doing? They continued, "This Jesus, this man, God in a body, he was taken up from you into heaven. He will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is God's word.
We're starting a new series this summer based on the book of Acts. I'm going to take a look at some of the great events that took place in the book of Acts. What better place to start than at the very beginning, the story that Pastor Tim just read to you from Acts chapter 1, the story of Jesus' ascension. There's a little more to the story than we heard, and so we'll turn to that now and then. But the story basically is still on page 909 in the front of in the Bible that's in the front of you in the pew. I want to talk a little bit about Ascension Day. That was last Thursday. You probably didn't even notice it. It probably wasn't even printed on your calendar. I have a calendar, a commercial calendar, and surprisingly, when I looked at it Thursday, Ascension Day was really on the calendar. What a surprise. Usually doesn't happen. I want to tell you, though, about some way, and it really is not a big deal, in our society, in our culture, but for early Christians it was. When I was at the seminary way back when, the seminary decided that it would like to enhance its chapel program, and so several students, upper class students, were selected along with faculty members to be a chapel committee, and they planned chapel services. So they planned a fantastic, so they said, Ascension Day service to celebrate this important event in the church's calendar. In fact, it is a big event when we confess the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, when we make a confession of our faith. That event is in there, the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus are all important events. Well, the seminary's attempt was pretty good. The faculty and student body filled the chapel. It was loaded with people, and it was in the morning, as it usually is. It was broadcast, usually over the Synod's radio station at the same time every day. And then following the chapel service, the student body and the faculty processed right over to the student union for coffee hour. You think coffee hour is something that we here at St. Mark's originated. It goes back to the early church. Coffee and donuts were the order. So here's what happened. The service went fine. It was getting close to the end. An upper-class student had discovered, though, one of these plastic styrofoam statues of Christmas statues, the baby Jesus. And he had decided to attach fireworks to the thing, the rocket kind of fireworks. He hid in the bushes outside of the chapel at the foot of the steps. When the procession left the chapel on its way to the student union in the coffee hour, the officiants in the service with their robes on and everything, the student lit the fireworks. And everyone was surprised, you can believe. They proceeded into the quad, and as they were going that way in direction, the statue with its fireworks and the smoke and sparkles soared up above the bushes onto the roof of the dormitory that was next door to the chapel. Just so happens that the president was not too happy with what went on, and I wasn't involved in that. Don't think I was. I knew some folks who were, and I can assure you the president was not too happy. Made no difference. The following year, Ascension Day came and went, and nothing big happened at all. You can be sure that that Ascension Day was never forgotten. It still lives on in the urban legends of the seminary. And as a rule, though, Ascension Day is pretty much forgotten. It was last Thursday. I have a hunch that the church never made any kind of a deal out of Ascension Day, even though it's a fantastic story and a great event with all kinds of meaning to it, the way we celebrate Easter or Christmas or even Pentecost, which comes, as Pastor Tim said, next Sunday, because it's kind of an embarrassment. The church doesn't know what to make of this story. What really happened back in 33 A.D.? What does it really mean? And we might as well ask ourselves, does it have any meaning for you, for me? Unlike Christmas, we don't have a lot of traditions that go with Ascension. There's no Ascension pageants with a young person from the youth group with ropes and harness being lifted up high to simulate the Ascension. We don't send Ascension Day cards. You go to the party store and you will not find any Ascension Day decorations for your Ascension party. It's not as dramatic as a birth in a manger or as a stone rolled away from the tomb. And yet the Ascension of Jesus is different. It's a harder sell. Maybe it's because when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a child. And when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate kind of life after death. The Ascension asks us to contemplate the in-between time of life. And when you talk about, we don't think about those events. When the disciples saw that Jesus had ascended into heaven and watched until he was hidden from their sight in a cloud, they probably felt all alone. They had experienced this kind of feeling once before when at the crucifixion. They felt weak and helpless against the authorities who could have arrested them at any moment. And so they ran away or hid or whatever. But then Jesus came alive, and all was well for a little while. Now he was going away again. And this time they knew it would be for a longer time. You know, we all experience times in our lives when we feel that there's some difficult passage, sort of like going from one world to the next. And waiting can be kind of lonely, and you feel kind of helpless. The disciples were about to lose Jesus for a second time. Their hope could have been dashed again as he withdrew and was carried off into heaven. There are times when we all feel helpless. We may feel helpless when we face serious illness or surgery. We may feel helpless and without power to change the direction that our kids are taken in their lives, and we watch it and can't seem to do anything about it. Or we might feel incapable of changing our lifestyle or our habits as much as we'd like to. Lots of people admit that they need to find some help to make a change beyond their own power to solve what's going on in their lives. Some will turn to the horoscope in the paper, or if that doesn't work, the Dear Amy column, which is on the next page in the paper, and to look for answers to how we are going to solve our problems. Some turn to a kind of God that is either a God who just sits up there and runs the show and really doesn't seem to have anything to do with what you or I want to do and need to do and have to do in this life. Take a cure from the disciples on Ascension Day. We're going to begin a study of the book of Acts and to see how God led the early church and to imagine in our own minds how God is leading us and this church and the Christian church throughout the world to share that good news. The Bible tells us that when the disciples returned home from that day, they didn't flee and they didn't hide. And the Bible tells us that they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem, and with great joy they spent their time praising God in the temple. God was gone, but they rejoiced. They knew that wherever they went and whatever they did, Jesus would be there with them. From that moment on, the disciples were never beyond the reach of Jesus. Before this, they might have been separated from Jesus by a door in an upper room or by a stormy sea. But instead, Jesus is out there with them, available with his ever-present power to help, to strengthen, to comfort. He's there with power. Jesus didn't go into heaven that day and leave the disciples all on their own. He left this earth so that he could be the ever-present, always-present God. He's Lord of all. And wherever we go on this earth, or under the sea, or in the reaches of outer space, he's there with his power. Think about God in your life. His power redefines and changes our lives. It creates in us new people through the water of holy baptism. And if you aren't remembering every day your baptism, that act of word and water made you a child of God, start today. Just an aside and a footnote here. You know I've said this to you before. If you have never looked up the date that you were baptized, dig that into that bottom drawer of your dresser underneath all the underwear and stuff that's in there and find that baptismal certificate and mark the date on your calendar for everybody in the family to see, the way you mark your birthday for everybody to see. Because that's the day that God's power entered your life through the Holy Spirit. God's power is stronger than death. It gives eternal life. God's power gives us new direction. And daily it kills anything and everything that's evil and corrupting our lives. It renews us as His chosen people. His power gives us power, gives us the power to walk in Him through the bread and wine, and that little sip of wine and a little taste of bread in the Holy Communion. His power gives us faith through His Word. He is ready to use His power in your life and in mine, at work, at our vacations, at our holiday weekends, every single day. Just as before He ascended into heaven, Jesus said, "I'll be there with you always." And friends, that promise is still good. We'll see it unfold in that story of Acts, and we'll look for seeing it in our lives. When we hear that we have a serious health problem, when we hear the news that someone we love has died, when we worry about money or our kids, our job, or lack of it, when we're upset or hurt or feel guilty or depressed, when we have to make difficult decisions about the future, we're reminded that the ascension of Jesus is close by and He's ready to use His power for us. The ascension reminds us that we have a Lord who came and gave His life for us. He arose from the grave so that we don't have to be afraid. He rules heaven on and earth, assuring us that we can face every force of evil because He is Lord. And as He said through His Word, there is nothing in all creation that'll be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. So, we're back where we started. What's this business about ascension? What about Ascension Day? What does it mean to me? What difference is it going to make? I will be there with you always. I've got a homework assignment for you between now and next week. Something to think about. Look for God in your life. God's sightings, I call them. Keep your eyes open for God lurking about in every aspect of your life this week. Wherever you go, whatever you do. Where have you seen God lately in your life? That's your homework question to think about, to pray about. God is very near, but He's also kind of hidden. And so He calls us to look and to see His presence in our lives. And as we look for Him, He will be there, comforting, restoring, sharing His love with you and me. And what else can you do but share with someone else? In the holy name of Jesus, amen.